Okay, so we're recording on Tuesday, the 27th of November 2018 at Hull Central Library. I'm sat here with Janet Gill, who we've previously interviewed for the Untold Hull project, but we're here today to talk a little bit more about some specific memories you have of the Skyline Ballroom and Baileys, which I know that you went to quite a bit as a teenager, sort of younger woman.
Yes, and it was the place to go in the sort of late 60s, right. And yeah, you just reminded me that it was called Baileys, but it started off as Skyline, and we specifically used to go on a Thursday night because I think it was more of a dance night or a disco night, as we used to call it, and there was groups. From America, a lot of them were from America, that used to tour Britain to get their names known, and so we didn't. I don't recall actually having to pay an entrance fee to go and see the groups. They just happened to be on stage at some point in the night while we were, having a dance. So it was a bonus, really. And I saw groups, and I said to you before, I saw Jimi Hendrix, and I can't honestly say that I was, what's the word, sort of into him particularly, but I remember thinking what a great act it was. He was, I should say. And I'd never particularly, I don't think I'd heard of him before. And then, of course, there was random groups coming, the Supremes before Dinah left or fronted them. Who we did know because we used to love Tamla Motown. It was very new and very of the time, really. And I think we saw what's his name now? Gino Washington and the Ram Jam Band, which people of that era will know. He's not around anymore. And we saw numerous groups, and it was just wonderful. It was a place to go. And then I think, yeah, as you rightly said, it changed its name to Baileys and became a little bit more sophisticated, I think. And later on, it was Romeo and Juliet's, and that's when they introduced dinner dances. I actually had when I was 21, I had my girls' night out before I got married there, and Bob Monkhouse was on as a and. Because we were sat at a table right near him, and he picked on us and embarrassed me terrifically with quite a rude joke, and got me up on stage, and but it was all good fun. It was, I say, it was the place to go, and really, I run out of steam now.
Can you remember the first time you went to what would have been Skyline at that point?
I can remember we. Because obviously it was above the BHS shop, as we know, as we are calling it now, behind the ships in the sky. But you had to go around to the back entrance, which was the Co-op, because Co-op was behind BHS, and you used to have to go up the Co-op stairs, I should say, and you always had to queue, and I was quite shocked that we couldn't just go straight in the first time we went. And I think I was 17, and I was a very shy person in those days, and myself and three others, well, actually, I can honestly say that for 2 weeks we were going to go, and then we shied off, and then this third week we're going to go this week, and we was real shocked that we had to queue up the stairs. But you got used to that because there was only one little lift, and then they reserved that obviously for people who were infirm. And then you had to walk along a long corridor, and we walked into the room. And looking back now, I think it was probably very basic, probably more like a school hall that had a few lights strung up somewhere and a stage. But it was the music we went for, and it was just wonderful. Really, really enjoyed it. And at that point, we said, right, we're going to come back every week now. And I think for 2 or 3 years, we did. And over that period, of course, it changed names, I presume, ownership as well over those years.
What sort of period are we talking here? Would it be?
Well, the first time I went was in 1967, I was 17 at the time, and right through to, well, I got married in 1971 and had my girls' night out, spinster night out as we used to call it then, at what by then was called Romeo and Juliet's. It changed names to that, and it had become more of because they were serving food, had become more of a dinner cabaret, and they used to have various cabaret, still used to get a few groups, but also they used to get, like as I said, comedian Bob Monkhouse was on the night that it was my hen party. And but also I can remember we used to go sometimes on other nights when we knew there was a special dance event. I mean, I can remember that there was a local group called the Rats, and they played very soul type music, which we were into at that time, and I think those were sometimes like just a Friday night, or sometimes on a Thursday night, so you know, there were various events going on in between the what we used to call the dance nights, because that was, you know, that's what we went for.
So you mentioned you were probably about 17 when you first went. Would that have been sort of underage, or was that a kind of underage,
well,
under 18s night at that
point? Yeah, no, I don't recall it ever being a problem with your age. You just weren't sold alcohol, but strange as it may seem, alcohol didn't come into it. I can remember when I think there was only one bar, and I don't recall a lot of drinking going on. We went for the music and the atmosphere and the groups, because in Hull at that time there was really only the Mecca, Locarno, and that wasn't a place my friends used to go to because we thought it was a bit stuffy. And so we were looking for places to go to listen to this Tamla Motown music. The only other place was a little club, and I think it was in Little Queen Street, called the Gondola, and that is where we first heard Tamla Motown music. And we used to go there, and there was no alcohol served at all. All you could get was drinks. You know, cold drinks. So we used to, because it used to have an interval halfway through the night, and we all used to pour out and go across to a coffee bar across the road. So I say that didn't have an alcohol license, and I can't honestly. There will have been a bar, but I think it was only in later years when I certainly didn't drink at 17. Not for any reason other than I wasn't really into it, because it was the music that we went for. And I don't think I really started drinking until I was about 19, 20. Because I don't recall anyone going out just to get drunk. They went out for the music and the atmosphere, because it was just, you had to be there, honestly, to understand it. Because you were looking at a generation that there was on the television at that time, the only programme dedicated to the teenage generation was Top of the Pops. That was the only programme dedicated to pop music, and of course that, I think that started in the maybe early 60s, but even there they only really featured British stars. They didn't really show much Tamla Motowny type or soul music, which is why when we heard about Skyline and heard through the grapevine about they were playing a lot of this American music, that's why we wanted to go. Same with the Gondola, that's all they played as far as I remember. They never played anything else, because the only other place you could hear it would be on the pirate radio ships. Certainly the mainstream, you know, BBC radio stations didn't play it at all.
I think you mentioned that a little bit before we started recording about the kind of motel music that you're into, and it was, you didn't really hear it a lot around. So how did you get into it in the first place? How did you first hear
through the pirate radio ships. It started filtering through. And then, what was the first? I think one of the first hits was, I heard it through the grapevine. And I struggle now to sort of understand why it became so important. I think it was because it was different. Don't get me wrong, I loved the Beatles. I mean, John Lennon was my idol. And, you know, along with most people, I enjoyed the British groups, because the other thing I used to do was with a friend. We used to go to the Gardener's Arms pub on, which is still there, on Gottingham Road. And we used to go specifically on a Thursday night, because to mingle and, you know, sort of infiltrate into the students, and get so we could get invited to the student union, because a lot of British groups, again, to get themselves known, were travelling and going to these venues. And I saw people like the Kinks, Manfred Mann, all the 60s groups. I saw lots there. I mean, we used to go week after week, and so I loved that as well. It's just that when I first heard this soul music through the pirate radio ship, and then of course, obviously, I suppose people started buying the records and playing them in venues like Gardener's Arms. They used to play that, and then we heard about this pub, this little club that was dedicated to the Tamla Motown sound, which was, as I say, the Gondola. So that's where we sort of graduated to. I don't recall ever seeing any programme on the television, but as I said, those days television wasn't for youngsters. We were given Top of the Pops as a, you know, and I think Cliff Richard had a show of his own, didn't he, and that sort of thing.
So what sort of things would you wear on a night out to skyline, or?
Should have brought some photographs, didn't I?
Do you have any photographs of that era?
I have, yeah. Well, short skirts, of course, you wouldn't be seen dead in anything longer than, what, 2 or 3 inches above your knee. Obviously, girls with long legs, because I've only got little short legs, wore much, much more daring clothes. But we didn't consider them to be daring. Of course, little shorts as well, but mini dresses was a thing to go in, really. And the funkier the better. At that, because as well, as I was growing up, I think I've said to you before, my father was very strict, and he even as a teenager, he tried to dictate to me what I could and couldn't wear. And of course, in when I was growing up in the early teens, which would have been, you know, 1961, 1962, 1963, there wasn't that many places you could go to buy what we considered at that time to be modern clothes. And then C&A's opened. There was a shop called C&A's, which brought modern clothes to at a price that the general working class people could afford. And I remember my father giving me some money and telling me to go and buy myself a dress. And I think I was 16. And I came back with 2 pairs of bell-bottom flares, and he went bananas, he went mad. Yeah, that was the other thing. If it wasn't a mini dress or a mini skirt, it was bell-bottoms, trousers and little skimpy. Well, they weren't that skimpy, but there were little tight jumpers and T-shirts. And he went, to give him his credit, he didn't make me take them back, but we fell out of that over that for quite a while. But yeah, I forgot about, of course, I shouldn't forget about bell bottoms, because that was the thing to wear in the 60s, of course. And you wouldn't wear tight legged or straight legged trousers, or, you know, flowered straight legged trousers. It had to be the bell bottoms. So that was basically, that I remember, that was our wardrobe, really.
So I think you mentioned that you didn't really drink on nights out, and you said you didn't really have to remember having to pay kind of charge to get in as much.
I struggle to remember that. Thinking back, I think we must have had to pay something, but if we did, it won't have been much, because I was earning very little money, and my mother and father were wealthy, or my father was an invalid by that point, and I had to give them quite a high amount of what we called board money in those days. No, it's not sort of fashionable now, but in those days it was, up to a certain age, I just gave my mum my wage packet and she just gave me back what she thought I needed. And so I will not have had much spending money at all, so it won't have been much. And the people that went, certainly who I knew from old school friends and working friends, you know, workmates, they were all in the same category, so it won't have been much if it was. I struggle about that. I'm afraid I can't be absolutely sure about that.
So what would you actually do on a night out, say, at Skyline, when you're going to listen to the music?
Well, we just danced. We danced. I was a lot fitter those days and much thinner. And we just went and danced. And then, of course, you know, there was always what boys are, you know, sitting down and chatting and just mingling. Just being teenagers, really. Just learning to grow up, I think. Because think at that age, in those years, in the 60s, I mean, people now, don't they talk about the 60s, you know, drugs and rock and roll. I never saw any of that. No, not at all. When I see programmes, which suggest that the teenagers of those years were into all that, I didn't know anybody. There was a group of lads which were considered to be, I'd struggle to put a word on it, because I wouldn't say bad lads, but certainly, don't get involved with those, and maybe they were into maybe smoking pot and etc. But I can't honestly say that it ever touched on me. But I was a very naive teenager. We're looking back, even into my 20s, early 20s, I used to be shocked when I heard stories. You know, speaking to people as you get older, I never noticed that, or I never saw that, I wasn't involved in that. So I can't give you any lowdown on any of that, because I don't know what went on, really. And if I did sort of see it, I would probably keep well away. But yeah, we just went to dance and, you know, try and cop off with the boy that you fancied, and yeah, that was it, really. That's all we did. Certainly didn't go for drinking, because I never drank. Not till later.
So when you'd gone on one of these kind of soul nights out there, would they be playing records, or would it be live acts, or would it be a mix of the two?
Well, it would be records, because obviously we wanted to hear the authentic sound. And I remember the first time that the Rats came on stage, a local group, and we thought, oh crikey, you know, this is going to, but they were really good, they really had the sound. And then you would get, on a Thursday, it was a Thursday night that we used to particularly go, when we knew the groups were coming, were touring, but they would only come on stage for about an hour, and then the rest of the time it was records, because we wanted that proper sound. We didn't want a copy of it by, as I say, when the Rats did very well, because they did replicate the sound really, really well. And of course at Gondola, it was just record music. And then, of course, there was the live groups at the university. British live, you know, live groups.
Can you remember the first live band you saw at Skyline?
At Skyline? I can't, I'm afraid. No, I can't, honestly. I tend to think it might have been the Supremes, but I couldn't honestly say. Memory's not that good, unfortunately. It sounds terrible now because, I mean, but a lot, it all runs into one, a lot of it does. And I do struggle to... The one that really, as I say, really sticks out in my mind is Jimi Hendrix, because he was different. He wasn't really of my... I know he wasn't Tamla. He was sort of, you know, what was he described as? Heavy metal now? I don't know. I think he was very unique. I don't even think you could put him into a category. So he was a bit of a shock to us. And I can remember thinking we were a bit cheated because we didn't have our usual music, but we actually enjoyed it. Because he was very charismatic, and yeah, we really enjoyed it.
So, I mean, a lot of the acts you talk about here, like Jimi Hendrix, the Supremes, they're very kind of famous artists, very famous.
Yes.
And I think you mentioned that you maybe weren't as sure who some of them were at the time, or did you know how famous these people were, or famous they would become, or...?
Well, we knew the Supremes... Well, thinking about it now, I don't think we did, no. Definitely not. No, I don't think we did. I mean, we saw the Drifters, the Four Tops, and I don't think we were at all impressed with how famous they were. It was literally the music. Excuse me. And of course, along with the music came these new dance moves, which, again, we embraced, because growing up in an era of I had three older brothers, and I was used to them. The two youngest of my older brothers were into rock and roll and jiving, and we thought that was really old fashioned. I love it now. But at the time, it was considered to be really old-fashioned. So when this soul music came in, and we could do all these... And of course, we did see... Well, I'll just backtrack a bit, because at Gondola, they had a screen. I can remember a screen a few times, and showing all these American dances and doing the shuffle, and I can't even remember what the names of the dances were, but... the dance moves, I should say. So that was the main reason we wanted to hear the music. To be honest, I don't really think we went to Skyline, as it was first called, to see the groups. We went for the music, and the groups were just an extra added bonus. Scary to think like that now.
So are there any particular kind of gigs or nights that stand out at Skyline for you? I'm talking about maybe that sort of period of the when you're going regularly for Tamla and that town stuff. Are there any particular nights?
Apart from this Jimi Hendrix night, because and that was only because he was out of our comfort zone with the music, but we enjoyed it. I can't really. That's the frightening thing. They do all blend into one, which makes you think, well, brings it home to me that, no, we weren't that impressed by the names that were coming, because now if you went to a dance hall, which is all it really was to begin with, and suddenly they announced the Supremes were coming on, you'd jump back, you'd think, wow, this is wonderful, and you would remember it probably for the rest of your life. And the sad thing is, I don't recall anything in particular, except, as I say, Jimi Hendrix, because he was so different. And one night when I thought I'd met the boy of my dreams, well, he was the boy of my dreams, because he was someone I used to work with when I was 15. He worked at the garage where I first got a job when I was 15, because I left school at 15, and I absolutely idolised him for years and years and years. And he used to go, he was a little bit older, and he used to go, and he knew how I felt about him, and but he never, obviously, he was considered to be quite sophisticated, one of the top, you know, you have this hierarchy, don't you? Well, we did in the 60s, of the top mods. Terrible expression, but he was up there amongst them all, and those are the nights that you'd remember if any of them paid you any attention or came and asked you to dance on the dance floor. And I remember he often used to come and dance with me, and then he'd laugh and walk off, awful really, but he did stay one night, and he asked me if I wanted to have a drink. I think I was probably about 18 then, but again, it can't have been that important to us, because it didn't occur to me or any of us that, oh, we're 18 now, we can go out and have a drink. We never... I'm sure it did, but looking back, I can't recall it was that important. It was all about the dancing and copping off with the boys, you know. And all we did was... he bought me a drink, chatted to me, was asking me about my new job because I'd left the garage where he worked. And then he went off and broke my heart. And that was it. No, that was one night that I can remember. It's sad, really, not being able to remember all those. But I can remember there were glorious evenings. We just used to live for them all week. Really, just used to live to go there.
So you kind of mentioned going there originally and thinking it looked a bit like a kind of school hall. Mm-hmm. Or can you remember anything else about how the room was kind of decorated? Or...
Unfortunately, I can't remember anything. When they changed the title to Bailey's, now that became more of they made it into more of a nightclub. I can remember that. I think they were closed down. I can't remember how long they were closed down for, but they were closed down for a while and then opened as Bailey's. And I can remember going and we was really impressed because it really looked like a nightclub. I can only say that it must have had fairy lights. It was a darker atmosphere. It was more of a club, definitely. I can't remember anything else specific.
So you mentioned, I think, was it perhaps Romeo and Juliet by this point, but you went on your kind of hen-do.
Hen-do, yeah.
Was it, had they kind of changed again by that point?
Yes, when it became Romeo and Juliet's, it became more, well, actually, I've just remembered now, of course, when you walked in, because you had to go down a corridor, because the entrance was always at the back, where Co-op is, you know, where it was on the corner opposite. I can't remember now.
So would you have to go through the shop to get to the entrance?
No. It was outside. It was I assume it was separated. Yeah, we always used to go from the outside and climb up the stairs and then walk along to where it was situated. And when it had changed into Romeo and Juliet's, when you first walked in, that was the dinner area where you would see the acts. There was a little stage and there was all dinner tables. They were obviously trying to replicate more sophisticated dining out and eating and seeing a cabaret act. And it was really nice. It was very, very nice. And then you walked down a little short way and then there was a nightclub, a proper nightclub. There was just dancing, just music and dancing. I don't recall there ever being any live acts then. They'd stopped bringing them. They'd gone more into the dinner cabaret scene. But there was still a room at the back where you could go and just dance. And, yeah, we had a table. Looking back now, I think it was very sedate, really.
Did you go much more after that point?
No, we didn't. After I got married, my husband, he was like me. He loved dancing. Lived for dancing, but that was our big entertainment. And we used to go... Oh, well, up to that point, sorry, I'll backtrack a little bit, because it will have been 1969... they started opening little nightclubs, as they call them, in the city centre, and one of them was called Beer Keller, which is where I met my first husband. And that was completely devoted to dancing, dancing and music, because they didn't have an alcohol licence. They only sold tea, coffee and Coca-Cola. That shows you how much we just wanted the dancing and the music. And they literally were completely dedicated to Tamla Motown and soul music. Don't recall ever hearing anything else there. So we used to go there. We started going there, and we graduated a little away from Romeo and Juliet's, as it was then. And I certainly think after I got married, I can't recall going there very often at all. I can remember going there for a meal a few times, but of course we didn't have a lot of money to spend. So we were saving up for a house, lived in a flat. But I do recall going for the odd meal. But if we wanted to go out for dancing, which we did every week, even when after we were married, we would go to Beer Keller. And there was another place called Contiki. Another place called Contiki Bar. That was a bit of a dive. It had a floor that bounced and... It's terrible. I think they would never pass the safety laws nowadays, these little places that we used to go to. So no, I did graduate away from it in the early 70s, and I can't really recall. I can't even now recall what happened to it, because I think it must have closed down at some point, because people were coming away from youngsters, I should say, were coming away from that sort of dinner dance scene, really, and because the music was then available anywhere, they lost their grip, I think, a little bit on their specific audience.
So when you were kind of like that bit younger and kind of going out regularly, how did kind of Skyline struck Bailey's compare to the other places you were going? What was the atmosphere like?
Well, the atmosphere was great, because, as I say, when I first started going out to dance halls, that was all I ever knew. A lot of my contemporaries now, you know, because we talk about this now, used to go to the Locarno, the Mecca Locarno, on a Saturday, but I considered it to be really old-fashioned. And my father would never have allowed me anywhere at the age of 15, 16 and 17 to go there. And he didn't know. So I couldn't really compare it. So the reason I went was for the music. At the age of 17, and my father didn't know about that. He didn't know I was going there. And I mean, looking back now, I think I had to be home for 11 o'clock at night. My father, when I was 17, allowed me to come home at 11 if I went out to the cinema or anywhere. What was the point of this?
I was just a question of how it kind of compared to sort of other clubs, well, and what the atmosphere was like. But like,
yeah, I think personally speaking, when we discovered the likes of the Gondola and subsequently Beer Keller, we did sort of tend to think of Romeo and Juliet, did consider it to be a little bit too old fashioned for us, but we would still go occasionally. But of course, when we first started going, I couldn't compare it with anywhere else, because I never went anywhere else. The only place I would go was a youth club with my friend on Britton Avenue, because she lived on Britton Avenue. But again, all you ever got was 60s, was the British groups' music. You never got any American music. So when we first went to Skyline, we just thought it was fantastic. We just loved it. We thought it was... what's the word? can't think of the word, but we thought it was very the little bit of experience I had, as I say, going to a youth club. I think I went to Mechelecano twice up to the age of 17. We just thought it was wonderful. We really embraced it. We loved it. And I think the atmosphere that I can recall was everybody just went there to dance and listen to the music. And I did make friends through that, which I never would have made, I don't think, anywhere else.
So I just wondered if you had, kind of slightly different topic, if you had any memories of the co-op shop that was...
Oh, yes. Oh, well, the co-op shop, I can remember I bought a fair coat in there when I was 19. That would have been 1969. Because in those days it was all open plan, but obviously the laid out counters. But yeah, co-op, I used to love the co-op shop, cooperative, yeah, the store. And I used to shop in there quite a lot, bought things from there. I always felt, they were always slightly cheaper than the BHS, dare I say. I might be wrong in that, but I always thought, even though it was considered a little bit old-fashioned, you could still go, I still went and got the odd thing from there.
So for people that kind of won't remember that, what's... Can you describe the kind of the co-op kind of shop? What sort of store was it?
Well, it was a departmental store. So on each floor, there was furniture floor, a clothing floor. You know, it was a departmental store, which a lot of stores still are now, because that, I suppose, that works. I can't recall it being any different, really, from the BHS or Hammond's. It was always considered, I think, to be slightly a poorer relation of them. That sounds awful, because I bought some nice clothes there. And I can't remember the furnishings being any less, not sophisticated, but any less smarter than BHS or Hammond's, which was, in those days, was considered, you know, the top-notch store to go to. Yeah.